Welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. Today, instead of rambling on about some bullshit, trying to come up with a great intro, I just want to take a moment. It is Veterans Day, so I do want to say thank you to all the people that allow Carrie and I to actually sit here on a, I guess for her, it's a warm day. For me, it's a crappy, windy, cold, rainy fall day. So thanks to all the vets that allow us to do this.
Is that why you're wearing your Captain America hoodie?
No, that was just a coincidence, actually.
Oh. just a happy coincidence.
Yeah, my Punisher hoodie is due for a wash, so wearing this in my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajamas, because let's face it, putting real clothes on is just not something. I only do that when I have to go outside.
Yeah, I would do the same if I didn't have to take the kids to school. I'd probably walk around in my pajamas till I had to leave.
Yeah, the joys of working from home.
That's what weekends are for.
Exactly. Well, every day is a weekend for me, so. So, Extra Life, that was a thing that like happened while I was working a wedding. I saw that.
It was a thing.
Was a thing. I saw Ross's just destroyed.
God! He just. And the weird thing is, like, I think it was Friday, he was still at, you know, this paltry 790. And then, like, about, you know, I think it was in the morning, I saw he'd gotten up to about 800. I was like, okay, well, I can't believe people are still donating. And then it was right after we got back from the tattoos. I was like, oh my God, you broke 1,000. What the hell?
And that dude, he got some serious support. I mean, he basically got our goal just by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. That was honestly amazing. It was even more amazing. It was in talking to him the next morning. And I found out that, you know, not only did he do it by himself, like he wasn't with a group of people, but Audrey wasn't even in town. So the only person or people he had to talk to was on his live stream, because he live streamed all day. So that was, and he did, you know, talk. Cause I was watching his stream like in the corner. And so, yeah, but that was the only, I don't know how he did it by himself with no one to talk to keep awake, wife or anything, but.
Yeah, and he did the classic Ross thing. So if you watched, I think last year and the year before that, Ross, much like me, just can't go, like, you do the 24-hour thing. So we usually started it at 8, and then like I drove home, took a shower, and then reset my computer and stuff back up. Ross goes home and watches football. So like he's up for probably 36 hours at least.
I can't believe he did that.
Yeah. I was looking on Twitter Sunday morning. He's like, no time for sleep. Got football to watch. He's like, dude. So.
Yeah, he said that in the middle of the night, he had to switch games every 45 minutes to stay awake. And so his stream in the morning, he was just playing some World of Warcraft, because he said the clicking was going to help keep him awake. But he wasn't saying very much in the morning. It was very, very quiet. And then when, like, you could hear the alarm go off, he's like, that's it. Oh my God, peace out. I'm done.
Oh, Ross, man, thanks to Ross, because whoever, all the people that supported Ross, man. Whew.
Yeah, so I mean, Ross pretty much carried Team SGR, because you know, because of that, we got $2,000, I think, was the last tally. And you know, you still haven't finished, so you're still taking donations. And yeah, like and I got over 500 like the day before, because it's funny, because when I was talking to my mother-in-law, and she said, so did you make your goal? And I said, I'm $5 short. And she's like, really? That's bullshit. What are you going to do? I was like, well, you know, if I don't get anything, you know, by Saturday morning, I'll throw in, you know, another $10 or so. You know, it's, to me, it's worth it just to hit the goal, because it was going to eat at me to have $495, you know, throughout it. Well, then she threw in another $10 before I could do so. And then my aunt threw in another 100, because she's because last time I talked to her, I told her I was 150 away. So I guess she just remembered I was 150 away. And so she threw in another 100. And I was like, you didn't have to do that. Like, I already beat the goal. And she's like, oh, well, it's for the kids. It's for the Children's Medical Center of Dallas. So, Jen and I did not make it up all night.
Yeah, I saw that. And you're not the only one. I actually saw a lot of people this year jumping on. Like, they would jump on Twitter and then they said, yeah, finishing up the last X amount of hours of my Extra Life thing. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was about 1:30 in the morning and I'm starting to nod off. And I was like, okay, I can push this through. Like, maybe we need to put something on that Jen and I can play together so that, you know, we'll be laughing. You know, kind of like what we did with Towerfall last year to kind of push through. And the more I thought about it, I said, you know, but what if I do push through and I get sick while I'm trying to, you know, single parent for the next 2.5 months. So I was like, this is not worth it. We'll just wake up early, or I'll just wake up early in the morning and I will finish. I turned to Jen and I said, look, I can't hack it anymore. I'm done. I don't want to risk getting sick. I can't get sick. I'm just going to wake up like at 8 a.m. and finish. And she's like, oh my God, thank God. I'm so with you. So we got up, we slept in a little later, so we didn't start till about 8:30, but we finished our last 6 hours, 6.5 hours the next day. And so she and I are both thinking that this is definitely our last attempt to go 24 full hours. Like, if I do this again next year, it is going to be like 12 on 12 or, you know, 14 and 10 or something like that. I'm too old. I can't stay awake. I got too much else going on, too many responsibilities. And I just, honestly, I literally cannot do it.
Yeah. If I do it next year, which is, I may just do it out of spirit. I may not try to harp on people for money because it seems to be the thing lately. But I'm kind of thinking, I think somebody replied to your post that said, why not do 3/8? So 8 hours Friday, 8 hours Saturday, 8 hours Sunday. It's like, you know, that's,
yeah. Although,
you know, on Saturday, I can easily do 16 hours. So I was just like, why not just do, you know, a couple hours on Friday in the evening? Because then you could do like I was thinking for, and I still have time to do mine. So I know that I wanted to do a stream where you could watch some of it. So that way, if I'm either doing Life is Strange or we could do the Dragon Age thing. Mm-hmm. Then I was kind of thinking, well, you know, why not have one where you play for like 4 hours at night and have a couple drinks and just stream it and have fun and then wake up Saturday and do, you know, crank out some more of it. So I'm kind of thinking of, instead of doing the 24 hours straight, I'm going to do segmented parts. So that way, like, I can take care of you. I can have some fun with some drinking on one night. And then I can just do the, like, you know, the full on finish it off on a Saturday or something. So
yeah. Sounds like a great idea.
So that's, thankfully, I still have time. So
right. I think when I did this my first year, because I know that I stopped playing at 2 a.m. just because I had pretty much a newborn baby and I was going to be up all night anyway. So I didn't want to, you know, push myself up all night. So I went to bed. So I think that day I did 14 or 15 hours that day and then finished up the rest. So like, what was it, 9 hours the next day? And that was honestly fine. That was more than fine. I could see me doing something like that again.
Yeah. My first one I did on my own. I don't even know what made me decide to do it, but I did it. I made it through that one all the way through. Then the next one is the one where we Skyped you in at times. Mm-hmm. And I made it through that one the whole way through. Actually, I've done all of them, made it pretty much the entire way through. It's definitely a lot easier when you have Ross freaking out behind you, or at 5 a.m. you have to do a ring around the rosy.
Right. You know, there's a lot of sites that I saw that, you know, they had no problem doing it, but they were doing it as a group. So either they were all together, so you had 12 people in a room. Well, that's much easier because then you're all like bouncing off each other and keep each other awake. You also have we're also doing tag team. Mm-hmm. Where they're doing 3 hours, someone else will do it for 3 hours, someone else will do it for 3 hours. And I'm like, well, shit, I could totally do that. So there's a lot of that. And I think I was talking to somebody else and they're like, you know, a lot of people who do this by themselves rarely are able to stay up the full 24 hours I think it depends on the age. Like the 20-year-olds, they most likely can. Yeah. But no, I just can't. So I mean, I did it that one time with you guys, and the only reason why I think I was able to was because I was with you guys. But also, you know, I can't have caffeine, so I can't do very much to help keep me awake except for, you know, maybe run around or something like that. But as soon as I sit back down, it's going to, you know, be the head bob all over again. You know, because I remember at the very end of last year, and I was standing up to make myself not fall asleep, and I was still nodding off standing up because that's just how tired I was. And it took me like well over a week to recover from that. And so I'm so glad that this time, you know, we didn't stay up. And then on Sunday night, like, we made sure we were still so tired, but we still made sure that we stayed up till about 9:30. And Jen had to leave. Her ride was picking her up at 5:40 in the morning. So because she had an 8 a.m. flight, and there's no way I could take her. So she did a super shuttle out. So we went to bed. Like, I was like, okay, I'll read for a little bit. And then by 9:30, sometime around there, last time I looked at my clock, I woke up like about, you know, midnight, and my light was still on because I'd fallen asleep in my book. So, and then Monday night I went to bed at 9:30, and that felt great. Because I'm still feeling it, and it's a combination of, you know, staying up so late and, you know, kind of hanging out with one of my best friends, you know, all weekend and doing that because she made me freaking watch Highlander on Friday night. And and then because we were up late Friday night, much later than we were supposed to be. And then, you know, now I'm back with the kids. And it's like, oh, I'm still getting old. Ain't for sissies, people. You just can't recover as quickly as you used to. Like, I know I'm not ancient or anything, but it's just a fact of life. Just can't do all this crazy stuff. But it was my first time ever streaming. And I want to thank everybody who came in and watched. Drew, and I can't pronounce your name. I'll just call you Abby. He stayed with me. They both pretty much stayed with me the entire time. But at one point, like, you know, I would have between, you know, 8 and 9 viewers coming in. Although it was really funny when I started playing Dragon Age Inquisition and I got to building the character, I was like, oh, I just can't do this. So it took me forever. And Drew was like, are you really going to take an hour to build this character? And I was like, I might, asshole. I might. And then I got to the name. I'm like, oh, the name is so important to me. So I sat there for probably about 10 minutes of the name, and then I watched the viewers just drop. I'm like, yeah, I know this is boring. I never said this was going to be fascinating. But but I had a lot of fun streaming, so I may try to do that, you know, once a week or something. It was fun because the PS4 setup was so easy.
I was going to say, did you actually use the camera too, so that we had like a little video of you?
Yeah, I did. I had the camera, and then, of course, you know, like on the stream, it actually has the chat going on the side. So I didn't have to constantly look at my laptop. I had it set up just in case, but when I saw the stream was going on the side, I was like, oh, I don't have to set up my laptop. Okay. So that was really neat. And of course, but then I forgot to do a crucial thing. Like, I didn't know I had to go into my settings and select the archive because I was hoping to upload some of those videos, and they're all gone.
They're not there.
So, yeah, because one of the things, I started off my day playing Far Cry 4. To show how you can complete the game in 20 minutes. And so I've been told on Action Trip, because I was like, I don't have it anymore. And they're like, well, can you do that again? I was like, oh, yeah, because I didn't even have to touch my controller except for one part in the entire game. The whole time I played, it's like, yeah, you need to post that. So I'll post today or tomorrow how to complete Far Cry 4 in 20 minutes. And according to Jen, the ending is the same except for one comment that Pagan Men makes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was fun. And then I played one episode of Tales from the Borderlands. That was thanks to Matt Green. And I played that one episode, and holy crap, that is so funny. And that is so much fun. It's a point, because Jen, her whole thing is she was going to play Dragon Age Inquisition the whole time. And she's going to, because she'd never done a dwarf build, so she was going to do that. Well, she's watching and hearing me playing Tales from the Borderlands. She's like, oh, fuck this. And so she bought the whole thing. And she played the entire thing the whole time. So I had to put my headphones on a few times because I heard spoiler stuff happening, because I didn't want to catch any of that. But she told me that I shouldn't finish it unless I play Borderlands 2. There's a lot of references back to stuff that happens in there. So she's talked me into now getting, so I asked for this for Christmas, the Handsome Jack collection.
Oh, yeah.
So I can get Borderlands 2 in the pre-sequel. And she's like, we will play together. And then her husband told me, he's like, you never played this before? It's like, it's Diablo with guns. I'm like, Sold. So sold.
So sold. Oh.
So the big bum of the day. Well, then I played an hour of The Witcher 3 as well, because that's what Ross told me to play. Because I asked him, I was like, are you going to make me play Destiny? And he's like, well, no, I don't hate you. So I deleted Destiny right off my hard drive because I keep running out of space. I need to do what you just did and get that 2 terabyte drive and move on. I guess I'll have to wait till Sean comes back in town, though, to swap it out. But so I played like an hour of The Witcher 3, which I knew it was going to happen with this. And it's exactly what did happen. Because he wanted me to play an hour of Gwent. Well, I hadn't gotten far enough in the game to get to the Gwent. So I started over. Pretty much yelled at the screen how much I still hate Yennefer. And then, you know, got on the horse. We went forward. We went to the town. As we're going through, like, all these little dots. Beep, 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 beep. Pick up on the map. So I went and picked weeds. The next thing I knew, the hour was up. And I hadn't left the town yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't think Ross really got his money's worth. But thank you anyway for donating to that, Ross. And then of course Jen and I took a break for much longer than we anticipated to get tattoos done. Our appointment was at 2, was when the shop opened. He didn't get us back there till 4.
Holy shit.
And then we left around 8. So we were not planning on staying at a tattoo parlor for 6 hours.
Holy hell.
Yeah, we were not pleased that it was taking him so long to get set up. And
how does it take him 2 hours to get set up?
Well, like, first he came out and he's like, so now what sizes were this? And so we had to talk to him about the sizes again, even though I thought we had already done that. And then, you know, he took him forever to print after we told him the sizes, and he came back out and reprinted them back out. And that took forever just for him to reprint them back out, which we're like, we don't understand. And so then finally he got out a ruler to measure like what I was thinking of for the size. And then it took him forever again to print it out. And he's like, okay. Then once we got that organized, and of course, and Jim was still like, I still don't know where I want my marker. So he's like, okay, we'll worry about that later. But here's the size that we're going to do. Because she knew it wasn't going to be on her arm. So she got that size down just fine. He's like, okay, well, I got to make the stencils. And then I got to go get my station set up. And then we waited another hour for him to do all that.
Good God.
Yeah, I mean, he apologized, but, you know, and he did a really good job, but, you know, we were still just irritated. And of course, and then my lessee mark took much longer than he was anticipating. Like, when he was finishing that up, I'm like, oh, I'm so over this right now. I'm ready just to cut off my arm because, like, I am so done with this. And he's like, let's do the other one. I'm like, yay. Although the other one wasn't nearly as bad because it wasn't as finely, but the fine details and all that as my lessee mark. So, and then Jens took no time at all because he did the same one. He did the Dragon Age mark, the same one that I did. So he already had that one down. And then her marker was super, super tiny. Although it was really funny though. It was like, she decided her marker was going to be her ankle. And I was like, and I said, oh, that's so not the big of a deal. Cause when I got my Zelda one done, that was hardly painful at all. Like, it got a little painful when we got like near the top. Mm-hmm. It hurt my leg, but it was no big deal. She thrashed more around on the ankle than she did on her forearms. Like, she was like, oh my God, this is murder. I'm never doing my ankle ever again. I'm like, the ankle? Really? Okay. And he was saying, he's like, you know, everybody's different. Some people, it's really, really rough. And I told him, I said, the one on my shoulder blade was one that about killed me. And he said, you know, he's like, you get half and half. So on the shoulder blade, they're just fine. Other people, they're, you know, it really, really hurts. And of course, there's one guy that was getting a sleeve done. He was there hours before we got there, and he was still there when we were leaving. So we got to know him pretty well. And then this other artist, like, he found out that we were, like, you know, big nerds. He's all talking to us about Batman stuff when we were leaving. He's like, do y'all have to go?
Oh.
Like, we were wrapping up the day, like, ranking the Batman and arguing over the Batman.
Oh, that's awesome. It's great when you get a good tattoo place that you can involve, you know, artists that you can hang out and talk with.
Yeah, well, the guy who was doing us, like, you know, he didn't really know what our marks were, but then he found out that we were gamers, he was asking us different questions about stuff. And he's like, so about the new Assassin's Creed? And so, you know, we're going back and forth and asking about talking to him about that, because he said he was thinking about getting the Xbox One. He's like, should I get Halo 5? And I'm like, no, that's not the reason to get the Xbox One, no. He's like, well, what about Rise of the Tomb Raider? I'm like, yes, that's a reason to get an Xbox One.
Oh, which we just found out last night that Ross bought an Xbox One.
Actually, I've known for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Blake and I were like, you're playing Halo?
Yeah, Ross and I have been, and I am, the last 2 weeks, talking Halo. Asking me questions about Halo lore, and he's telling me where he is, and he never knew what the Flood were until he got to them like 2 weeks ago, and he's like, wow, so that was disappointing. Oh. And then I told him, I said, hey, how are you with driving the Warthog? He's like, that kind of sucks, I don't like it. I said, yeah, you need to start practicing now. He's like, why? And I said, because of the final mission. And so he's talking about the final mission. He's like, that was some bullshit. I'm like, I know, man. I know.
Oh, you should listen to the podcast.
Oh, I plan on it today. I'm going to be watching that today.
Because Blake was like, oh, driving the Warthog's the best. And Ross and I were like, you're an idiot. We're like, driving the Warthog's the worst. And Ross attributed it to similar to driving the Mako.
Well, I will say this about Blake and the Warthog. Blake is an idiot savant with the Warthog. I mean, like, whenever he and I play Halo together, he will drive it, and I am jumping into that turret every single time because I know that we will survive any flip, because he can actually, you know, roll it back to the way it needs to go. We'll never get flipped out. He is really good at driving the Warthog.
Good on him.
Yeah. Whereas I'm the one, like, here's a scorpion. Tank, my tank. I'm driving the tank.
Oh, brother. So, you got tattoos.
I did get tattoos.
You did streaming, so that was like a new thing for you, which you found out you actually enjoy streaming, so that's cool.
I discovered it's very hard making it interesting to stream. So, you know, props on those who have found ways to make it entertaining to, you know, make a living out of it.
Yeah, it definitely takes a good skill set. You really, I mean, anybody can stream, but to make it as a streamer, you have to be, you're an entertainer before you're a gamer. So,
right. And I know I wasn't very entertaining because I wasn't playing the most entertaining games. You know, it didn't help that, you know, Jen and I would talk. So I'd turn around and start talking to her. Although, so I think some people found that entertaining because they would hear us, you know, making jokes at each other. Like, I'd ask her questions about Dragon Age and Drew would just be like, seriously, you guys are exactly the same. How is this happening? I'm like, shut up, Drew. So I think some people found that entertaining. I'm basically there, like, cussing out Drew most of the time. But that's what I kind of noticed, like, with some of the loot crate streams. That's, you know, kind of what they do. They mostly talk to the people in the chat more than, you know, they just happen to be playing a game in the background. And Dragon Age, I know, is not that most entertaining because there is a lot of running around and picking up things and finding things. And, you know, so I may need to watch a Destiny stream just to see how they can make it entertaining, because I just don't.
I can give you two really good Destiny streamers.
I was going to, because I know that you have a couple that you're really big fans of. Just because I'm just curious, because I would assume that Destiny and Dragon Age Inquisition on one level are a lot alike, and that you do the same thing over and over and over, and it's kind of flat and plain, and there's not that much excitement going on. So, but
it really is just about, you know, when you watch the small streams first, they're always talking about the game. And then if they get somebody in chat to talk to, they'll actually start talking in the chat. But yeah, like you said, it's mainly to, you know, if you're trying to make it as a streamer, A, don't go into it trying to be making it as a streamer. Do streaming because you want to have fun with it, and then let it grow from there. But it's really, like you said, it's just the game is like the ground that you're standing on, and then you're just interacting with the chat. So.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was playing Dragon Age Inquisitions, and I didn't want to spend too much time in the menus just because, you know, I spent 10 minutes picking a freaking name. And I hadn't turned the helmet off, because you can turn seeing the helmet off. And I was like, okay, I don't want to hang out in the menus too much. So does anybody out there know how I can turn the helmet off real quick? And then, you know, a few minutes later, because, I mean, there's a big delay, because there's a delay in, you know, me coming over the stream and then their response to me. So I finally got it, and I went to the menus. I was like, you know, thanks, whoever that was, and went to the menus. I was like, it's not there. you're a liar. And like, no, it's there. I'm like, it's not there. I'm looking at it. I'm finding it myself. I'm making y'all look at menus. And then I found it's like, it was an interface, people. And then I got, you know, my bad.
Oh, streaming.
But then, you know, I announced the winner of for the Fallout 4, my Fallout 4 raffle. But there was this one entry, which I still can't believe only one person entered for Fallout 4 for PC. And then the Assassin's Creed. And that I was just like, Jen, pick a number between 1 and 4. And she called out a number. I was like, hey, went over to my stream, Ross, you won Assassin's Creed Syndicate. And his response was, yay.
By the way, Jen, you chose poorly. You chose very poorly on that number. Yeah. And, you know, I almost, after seeing the consoles having frame rate problems with Fallout 4, because I was going to get it on PS4, which apparently is better than Xbox One as far as this issue. I almost wish I would have went for the Fallout one, because then I could have gotten it on Steam and I wouldn't have the frame rate issues that I'm currently seeing. They're not terrible, at least from what I was there. There's a digital something that ran like they ran both Xbox One and the PS4 version of it, and they had the little frame rate counter going across the bottom. Mm-hmm. And the PS4 struggles more when there's like environmental effects going on in your shooting and in combat. So when there's smoke and blood and stuff like that, the PS4 struggles a little bit more, and then the Xbox One just struggles when even just switching weapons, apparently. So hopefully, again, it's a Bethesda game, so it wouldn't be a Bethesda game without some sort of problems at the beginning. But at least heads aren't floating and people aren't missing their faces. So at least there's that. But the frame rate issues kind of would pull you out. So I'm glad that I'm going to be tackling Tales of Zestiria now that I have hard drive space and I can pull it down. I'm glad I'll be tackling that first. So hopefully by the time I get the Fallout, they'll have some of those stuttery issues taken care of.
Well, and if you are interested at all, Action Trip, we are giving away a Fallout Steam code.
I saw that yesterday and I was meaning to go back today.
Yeah.
So
it's very highly coveted. It's probably the most entries I've ever had for a giveaway. It's 355 entries so far. I had to turn off the Twitter notifications for Action Trip on my phone because it was killing my battery.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so got your first stream in. Got two new tattoos, although that took way longer. That whole
stupid.
Did you do anything else new? Because we'll talk about what you've been playing here shortly, but did you do anything else interesting?
Well, I mean, like, it's the new thing, the Tales from the Borderlands. I mean, I played some, I only played like one new game, it was Tales from the Borderlands. And that, like, I really can't wait to get more into that. Because that's a, and it's definitely got the writing from Gearbox, because it's so hilarious in how they do it. And it's different from how most of their stuff is, because you get to play as two different characters. And and of course, it's got this cross between like the Borderlands cell shading and the like the Walking Dead art. So it's kind of like the cross between that cell shading and comic booky. So it's, it's like you got your peanut butter and chocolate all mixed together. It's really, really cool. Of course, the voice acting's fantastic. There's a lot of fan treatment, because this one character came in and I was like, who the hell is this? And Jen's like, oh my god, it's Zero. I'm like, oh, okay. So that was I really thank Matt for that, because I've had it for a while. Just one of those things you just never get around to. So I can't wait to get back into that. But I don't think there's really anything else new that we did. I mean, not really. Aside from watching Highlander.
Yes, but that's not Extra Life. that was Jen making you watch a great movie. Mortal Kombat Annihilation is on Netflix right now. You should totally, if you think Highlander's bad, you should totally check that one out.
I don't think Highlander's bad. I just think I'm 20 years too late.
Carrie, it's a classic, man. Sean Connery, come on.
Okay, talk about a character that just stood out. And Christopher Lambert was glowering. I'm going to glare at the pavement. I mean, the girls screaming the entire time, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know. And I guess I feel like they didn't really explain some of the mythology very well. And Jen's like, no, you kind of need to watch the TV show and a couple of the others to really get like the whole thing with the mythology. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I care enough. I mean, it's really cool, you know, seeing Clancy Brown like super young and, you know, badass voice and everything. But yeah, okay.
Carrie. All right. So that was your Extra Life. So that's why this is Extra Life Wrap-Up Part 1. Hopefully in 2... Oh, yeah, we might have to talk about our next... not next week's podcast, but the week following that, because that's Thanksgiving week, and I'm going to my brother's.
Well, I won't. School's closed, so...
Well, we won't be doing it then. So look for my wrap-up in, like, 3 weeks or so.
Yeah. Maybe,
hopefully. So... We now know that you played Dragon Age Inquisition, the menu game, and Name Creation Simulator. You played The Witcher, the herb picking simulator. You beat Far Cry 4 in 20 minutes.
Yep.
And I see one more game. Oh, and you played Tales of the Borderlands, which you're looking to play more of, but you're going to wait till you get the Handsome Jack collection. So, although I kind of want that too, because I really want all the DLCs, although I know that the pre-sequel was a pretty terrible game, so...
I heard it was good. It's just one of those that my boss said it was good. Just the final boss is very obvious. You have to play that with other people.
So, and you have one more game that you have not mentioned yet.
No, because the embargo, I couldn't talk about it until Monday. And that was Rise of the Tomb Raider. I've been playing that the last couple of weeks. And holy crap, that is my new front runner for Game of the Year.
Really?
Yes.
And what makes it your front runner for Game of the Year? What all suddenly just made it go to that level?
I was really nervous about the game because if you followed me back when I was writing for the Daily Crate, or if you've read any of my Tomb Raider comic reviews, I have not been pleased with the comic situation and where it's gone. And the big thing is that Crystal Dynamics said, you know, the comics take place after the first game, like they bridge the events between the first and second game. And my thing was like, if we're going to go with where they are in the comics, this is going to be awful. Fuck this bullshit. I don't want anything to do with it. One thing they also did, though, was that they released a novel called The 10,000 Immortals that takes place directly in between, right after the first game and before the comics start. The funny thing about that is that Lara Croft and the Lara Croft of the comics are personality-wise not the same. And the thing is, the comics started off being written by Gail Simone, and I know everyone just thinks Gail Simone is the best female comics writer ever, but I'm sorry, I hated what she did to Lara Croft here. Then Rihanna Pratchett, who wrote both Tomb Raider and Rise of the Tomb Raider, took over, and it got better, but she still had to go with what was originally given to her, so she couldn't change things too much. And you know, it's like, seriously, this is how it's going to go. This is going to be awful. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, the game seems to like ignore everything that happened in the comics. It is the same Lara Croft that we had in the 10,000 Immortals book and in the first game. So that was a big relief. So yes, I did go into some expectations kind of low because thanks to the comics, which is another reason why I'm not recommending the comics to anybody. But so the way that I explained it to Eric when he and I were talking about it was that the first game kind of set up Laura's character. Like, she's this doe-eyed archaeologist, no idea how to do anything, and she has to become a survivor. Now she's like, I already have these tools. Now I'm refining them. And I really appreciated that they didn't make it a Legend of Zelda thing where she started off with nothing and you have to build the axe all over again, learn how to use it. No, she already has the axes. She can already climb up every single wall. There's other things that you can do to make things a little quicker. She does like add on to it later, like you can make it a grapple axe, which saved my life more than once when I didn't make a jump correctly. Fling the grapple axe. Oh, thank God. All right. Come back up now. And she does learn some new moves. Because this is already an established enemy from the novel and even from the comics, the company Trinity, there is no her wondering, who they are and what they're doing. She's like, no, these are bad people. And if they're going to shoot at me, I got no problem. So there's none of this moral dilemma of killing people. She's like, no, fuck these guys. And basically the premise is that she is searching after an artifact that her father lost his life over. And that is all I will say, because anything else will go into huge spoiler territory. The story goes down a really dark path. A lot of the background comes through in any of the documents and tapes that you pick up, you know, kind of like BioShock and things like that. You get more about the world. Other cool thing about it is there's a lot of collectibles in it, but they actually make more sense than they did in the first game. Like, you'll find these coin caches, or you'll find survivor caches, which are a bunch of crafting caches. And you also will find these monoliths that you may or may not be able to translate. And depending on how many documents you pick up, Laura will learn to get more proficient in that language. And then she can translate the monolith, which will let you know about coin caches that are in the area. So I thought that was a fun use of, you know, finding collectibles for, you know, the murals that you'll see, or the documents that you'll find that will teach her, like, she gets better at reading Greek, Mongolian, or Russian. So that to me was really neat. Gameplay, stellar. I have zero complaints about the gameplay. It is solid. It works. The puzzle mechanics are fantastic, and they're challenged, and there's challenge in it. And if you don't find it challenging, there are challenge tombs that will kick your ass. They brought in a new crypt element. Of course, it's kind of, you know, the Castlevania or the Metroidvania thing where you can't do certain things in the beginning until you get certain weapons or certain abilities. There's a improved crafting system where she now crafts arrows on the fly, and including poison arrows, which are your friends. I mean, if you're trying to think of the stealth playthrough of, like, there's like a couple of people over there, I can't take them out stealthily without alerting them. How could you do that? Ah, stealth poison cloud. So you do this poison cloud arrow, they all die. It was actually the first game I would restart if I couldn't get a stealth, if I couldn't kill them all stealthily. If I was ever seen, restarted. And that's not like me at all. Just because the stealth was so much fun, and it was so creative in how they did it. I mean, I had a couple of complaints with it. And that is, there's a couple things just from what they do in the action sequence. It's like, okay, yes, we're this hidden village, and we need you to light the signal fire for us to prepare for Trinity coming in. But can you go do it? But you're like, okay, sure, yeah, I'll help out. Oh no, it's this pillar that you have to climb up. I'm like, yeah, you people can't climb up here. Why do you have a signal fire up here that you guys can't reach? But they did it, you know, as a way to make it, you know, they have to build it up because it's part of a game. But I was like, seriously, this is so stupid. And the big artifact that she finds, that she's going after, they never once explained how it got there, where it came from, or why it's able to do what it does. So it's like, I didn't get the mythology behind it or anything either. It's just, so that was kind of, I was like, oh, okay. But at the same time, though, but the story, oh man. And they totally have set it up for future Tomb Raider games. And if they keep this path, it's going to be amazing. My biggest sadness is about it is, one, that it released on the same day as Fallout 4, so I know it's going to get overlooked a lot. And two, it's Xbox One only exclusive for right now. So I think when it releases out on PS4, people aren't going to be as interested because it's already been out.
Game's old.
Yeah.
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 Don't release on Fallout 4 day. Just like StarCraft released their third expansion for StarCraft 2.
Oh, yeah. Yes. 4 day. Yeah, Fallout 4 day as well. Yeah, Legacy of the Void.
Both Ross and I were very sad because we were like, I've always bought the Fallout stuff or the StarCraft stuff on release day, and I don't have it because I'm like, I got too many other things that I got to play. So,
right. Because I had no idea even released on November 10th until Drew told me. I was like, oh, that released today too. Oh, that was not a good idea.
That was some bad planning right there.
But when else could they do it? You know, I mean, could they have done it November 17th? Well, no, because Battlefront will probably, you know, overshadow that. And I don't know.
Now, they should have probably done it during BlizzCon is what they should have probably done.
Oh, that would have been smart too.
Yeah. I mean, I get that it's not a Tuesday release, but if you do it during BlizzCon when you still have all that hype and you're trying to, you know.
Yeah, but they could have done that Friday. I mean, Call of Duty Black Ops 3 released on Friday, but, you know, but that's a totally different audience than Legacy of the Void, especially during BlizzCon.
So I think that would have been a better choice than trying to compete with all the other shit that came out on Tuesday. So, and I just checked Twitter or Twitch earlier today, and everybody's playing Fallout 4. One person was playing Rise of the Tomb Raider, and nobody's playing StarCraft. I was like, that's kind of sad. And that was what it was like last night, too. I was just like,
I'm not surprised, though. I'm not surprised at all.
No. I mean, StarCraft has been losing its audience pretty heavily since MOBAs hit the scene. So,
right.
Anyway, that's for another day.
Just what else? What you've been playing?
Yesterday, I played the PS4 Progress Bar Madness. That was a good time. Essentially, I swapped out my hard drive on my PS4. I took the 500 gig out, put in a 2 terabyte drive. So backing up my system, I had to go find another 500 gig drive so I could do it. And I have this great little adapter, so I can just use it's basically this. It's a nice little adapter. Plug the laptop hard drive into it, becomes a USB drive, plugged it into my PS4. You got to do a bunch of Windows stuff to it first because you got to format it. So backed everything up, swapped in the new hard drive, which I don't know if it was faster on the PS3 or on the PS4, but essentially the PS4, you just slide the shiny cover off, unscrew the hard drive, put the new hard drive in, slide it back in. The hardest part was getting that damn plastic cover back on. Comes off.
I wonder if I could do it myself.
I mean, other than you have to hook it up to your Windows machine, you have to format it in EXFAT and use the biggest thing. I mean, there's several YouTube videos on how to do it. It's so easy. The biggest worry you would have is that if you to back everything up, I mean, you have to have a drive that's big enough to handle it all. So,
which I do.
So as long as you got that, you format the drive, plug in an external drive, you go over to the system on your menu bar, you go over to settings in the system menu, there's a backup and restore. Back it up, put in the new hard drive, then you have to download the firmware from the Sony site, put that on a USB key or drive or whatever. That was the hardest part. Like, it would not read it the first 3 times I did it. So I ended up having, because you have to format the USB key, create their folder, so it's like PS4, then update, and then that. And I think I had a fat fingered one of the folders or something, so it eventually found it, and then I restored. So it took 4 hours to back up and about 2.5, maybe 3 to restore. So it was great, because I mean, once you restore, it brings all your stuff in. So
the PS3 was probably easier because you just slapped in the new drive.
No, you still had to back it up.
I didn't back it up. It was I kind of did. Like I say, but I already had all my saves somewhere else anyway. And so, you know, just put in the new drive and it automatically, you know, formatted it and set it up. And then I just sat and downloaded stuff and just had that going for like 2 days.
Yeah, you can do the same thing here. You just go over to the library and do that. But I was like, Destiny had like an 18 gig patch. I was like, I don't want to pull that down again. But
you're also have a data cap that I don't have. So.
Okay. I mean, for you, it'd be way easier than you just freaking put in the drive, sign into your account, sign into PlayStation Plus, go to your library, and just start downloading whatever the fuck you want to download.
You just have to, you know, even move to like a USB drive or something, all my saves, and then move on with life.
Well, if you have PS Plus and my stuff was already uploaded to the cloud, so my
saves. I don't know if I have enough space in the cloud. I need to double check these things. Yeah.
I mean, the most technical part of the PlayStation 4 hard drive thing is making sure you do the and you have to do it on Windows, do the Windows formatting on it. And that's about the hardest thing. And that's nothing. So did that yesterday. So now my PlayStation 4 does not have this bar that's all the way across on the data line. It's like, here's how much stuff you've got. Here's how much space you've got left. So I'm sure that'll be good for about a year and a half. I'm gonna have to replace it again.
Well, you'll just, you know, delete the games on there that you don't play anymore.
Yeah, probably. I probably could have done that now, like gotten rid of Assassin's Creed Unity, but there's still a part of me that's like, you're going to go back and finish some of that shit, so I'll just keep it on there. So, did that. Played some more Destiny with my brothers. That probably won't be happening for a while now, because one brother is playing Fallout 4, and next week is Star Wars, so I still have to decide which version of Star Wars I'm going to get. I kind of want the $120 version of it because it comes with a bunch of extra stuff. But it's also a Battlefront game, so it's not, I don't know. We'll see how that plans out in the next couple days. Got to do it now. Got to order it before release, though, so that we get all the pre-order bonus stuff. So,
well, exactly.
Also played some more World of Warcraft and played a lot more Lego Dimensions. And, man, those portal levels are killer.
They're the best, man.
Oh, God, I was cracking up the entire time. There's so much fun in it.
Like when you summon in the Dalek. Christian, I don't know anything about Doctor Who, but comes in, it's like exterminate, explode. And she pops in, it's like, I don't know what that was. It was all exterminate, and then it exploded. I liked its attitude.
And the variety in the, like, between Portal 1 and then the Portal 2 world, they're so drastically different play types.
Just like how the game was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoy it. It threw me off at first. I was like, well, what am I supposed to be doing? Oh, this is like the actual Portal 2 game. So I did have one problem, though. You do that. You find the one guy that he's like, I'm going to do this obstacle course for you, and you got to, you know, jump around and turn off the laser beams and all that other jazz. He went to give me the gold brick, and then the game locked up and errored out and dropped me back into the PlayStation menu. I was like, really? Really? I just had a gold brick, and you took it away from me, you assholes.
Well, I've gotten to a glitch with mine, which I found out this is very common. I don't know if they're going to, if they are updating it or not, but so I was going to take some videos of, like, replaying the portal levels, and I don't mean the expansion, I mean like the actual portal levels from the game. And you know how you have to get the turret to shoot at the panel? Mm-hmm. Panel won't recognize that it's shooting at it. And apparently that's a very common thing. That after you finish it, you can't replay it because of that thing. So I'm like, well, that kind of sucks because there's a lot of collectibles I may want to get down the line. So we'll see.
Yeah. So thankfully, it's the only glitch I've found so far. I have yet to continue the main storyline of it because I've just been running around doing, checking out the other stuff. So I'm at the Simpsons level in the main story.
Okay.
Which I also found interesting because I had different characters on the little portal ID on the device. Mm-hmm. And then in the game, because it's the story, it's still Gandalf and Wildstyle and Batman. And then so they fall into the Simpsons house, and then it's whatever characters you have up on your device. And I was like, that's kind of throwing me for a little loop. But
yeah, but that's because the story is centered around those three.
I understand what it is, and I understand that they can just slap in because it's I know it's a cutscene, so they've already got that pre-rendered. So, but it was just like, maybe I could take Shell and just run around in here and see what you could do. Portal gun's a lot of fun too.
Yes.
So, but yeah, that's what I've been playing. And on that, take us home, Carrie.
All right. Well, you can leave us a comment on this post, or you can email me at strategyguidereviews@gmail.com if there's anything specific you want us to talk about, if you have any questions. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Crunchy Chocobo. Chris is at Starvin, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. And, of course, we ask you to keep on reading SGR. I just posted a video review yesterday of the unboxing video of the second Final Fantasy box set. There were some surprises in there for me. And apparently I've already helped one person make a decision on buying it. That was kind of cool seeing that this morning. I got a comment like, thank you so much for doing this. That's encouragement, man. So I'm going to keep on doing it with those collector's editions. And, of course, Fallout 4 arrived yesterday. Very sad I have to nail that, but
I'm very excited.
I know.
Sad that you had to open it, but such is life.
Yeah, I just gotta go find a better envelope to mail it in because it's so big. I mean, it's almost Skyrim fat.
Oh snap!
So you should be able to find how to do anything in crafting.
Yay!
In there, but you got Tales of Zestiria to work on too.
Yeah,
chop chop, man.
Can't do it. Life is busy, man. Life is busy.
I know. Believe me, I know. It says the person who hasn't gotten a chance to review Assassin's Creed Syndicate or Halo 5 yet.
Chop, chop.
I know. I had Tomb Raider to do, and then this week I'm still recovering. I'm getting there. They will get done by the end of the year. That's better than what I could have said last year, because I didn't finish half the shit last year because I'm a horrible person.
Naughty Carrie.
I know. Naughty. All right. So I guess with that, so next week will be the last one for a while.
Yes. At least for two weeks. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because we'll have Thanksgiving.
Yep. And then the holiday rush.
In December, you know, can't hang up stuff for December this year. I mean, we got Rainbow Six Siege and Xenoblade Chronicles X and Just Cause 3. Lots of crap coming out.
Gonna be a busy time. Busy couple months.
Just gonna be, but hey, what a time.
It's a good time.
It is a good time. All right.
And with that, we're out. Peace.